Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
Bucks Uncensored, Justin Pulaski, the commish, with two podcasts coming your way here in the next few days. This will be number one. We're going to react to Thursday night's debacle. And this will post on Saturday. If you're listening to this at JoeBucksFan.com, thank you for checking us out there. If you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean, no matter what device you have a way to subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Bucks Uncensored. So thank you to all of you that continue to grow our numbers as more and more Bucks fans find out a true destination where you can get passionate reaction and intelligent thoughts relating to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now this one's going to be, we're going to talk about Thursday night's game, some of the experiences that I went through. I was going to try and record this the night of. Let's just say your voice memos, phenomenal, by the way, but I had about 300 of them, and I try to listen to as many as I possibly can. Well, it was about 2:30 in the morning when I said, I can't start a podcast now. Because once I start, that's another 45 minutes, hour, maybe hour and a half, depending on everything that has to go into putting it together. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I bypassed that, took the day to kind of simmer down on Friday and recording this Friday evening. So 24 hours ago, I was sitting inside Raymond James Stadium, and it was about this time when it was a close game in the first half. You know, we're so naive. I'm so naive. I tweeted out before the game Thursday night that it was a massive game, saying that if the Buccaneers were to win on Thursday night against the Falcons, they would go to 4-4 on the season at the halfway point, 3-0 in the division, and have the tiebreaker over the Falcons. I didn't heed or listen to my own advice. My own advice in the previous podcast, where if you match up roster talent versus roster talent, where these two teams are, not 12, 14, or 16 games into a season, 8 games into the season. It's so drastically tilted towards the Atlanta Falcons, it's not even funny. Buddy of mine, Tyler, who sits in section 109 with me, tweeted, he took the day off on Friday, and I retweeted this, and I hope you have as well, to bring awareness to anyone that might not know the details of how bad the Buccaneers are right now. He said, we had 8 skill position players Thursday night, and I think he's only including wide receivers and tight end, or wide receivers and running backs, didn't include tight ends in this. But okay, so wide receivers and running backs. You know when I talk about on this podcast how Jameis Winston does not have shit around him? Look at this research Tyler did. At Tyler Thomas Brew on Twitter. Good follow, good guy, big Bucks fan. Said we had 8 skilled position players Thursday night. 6 of the 8 were undrafted free agents. Think about that. Humphreys, Cecil Shorts, Martino, Anton Smith, Peyton Barber, Russell Shepard. All undrafted. Hey, listen. You might run into one undrafted player that turns out to be great. You might run into 2. This is a team where 6 of their 8 running backs and wide receivers in an NFL game were all undrafted. Are we overthinking this, you think? Jason Light, are we overthinking this? We're trying so hard to find the diamond in the rough. Fuck. It gets better. 5 of those 8 players were not active NFL players week 1 of this season. That's insane. That is insane. I mean, that's... He goes on to say, we've played 7 games against teams with first-round receivers. First-round receivers have combined for an average total of 144.7 yards per game against the Bucs defense. The Bucs' 7 highest-paid players. 5 have missed at least 1 game this year. 1 on injured reserve, Vincent Jackson. 1 on PUP, J.R. Sweezy. Yes, he's one of the 7 highest-paid players on the Bucs roster. Combined 22 missed games, accounting for about almost $13 million for nothing. And then he bought season tickets for $1,150 for nothing. You know, you wonder why Bucs fans feel beat down the way they have been beaten down. It's shit like that. It's embarrassing performance after embarrassing performance. It's a nationally televised crowd and nationally televised game and nationally televised audience seeing that collective organization piss down their leg. Because that's what they did. Other than Mike Evans, who is a fucking stud. And I said last year, and if you're new to the podcast, that's fine. But I've had this podcast now for a couple of years. And last year on this podcast, I said, look out if Mike Evans matures. Just look out. He's a stud, man. He's going to drop a pass. You need to get over it. A lot of the best receivers drop passes. But when it comes down to needing a play, man, the guy is making the plays, and he's getting better. One of the few you can look at on this team and say is getting better. But it's not enough. It's far from enough. The defense is a train wreck. I don't mean to repeat myself, but the players that are supposed to be making the biggest plays disappear. They're not rallying the troops. They're going out and trying to do their job. And I get it. Gerald McCoy forced a fumble. Great. Big fucking deal. They gave up 40 fucking points. 43 points. And of course, as soon as he made the play, I turned to my dad. I said, early second quarter. That's it, man. That's your play for the game. And don't get me started on Lavonte David, the most overrated player on the Bucs roster as of right now, and I think one of the most overrated players in the National Football League. The guy has done nothing. Nothing. Players are running right by him. He is a shell of his former self. great rookie season, and every season since then, he has gotten worse. Worse. Well, it's the defense. It's this. It's that. It's Jonathan Banks and what he had to say. Did you hear what Jonathan Banks had to say? Goes to Detroit and talks about maybe the issues he had in Tampa.
Oof. It's tough to adjust every year. I mean, Tampa's a great place. I respect Coach Cutter over here. And I respect the Glazers. I think they have a fine organization. But every year when you get a new defensive coordinator, new defensive back coach, everybody want to mold and twist you and make you into this player and that player. And you kind of get old. And you kind of lose your fire for the game. And it's frustrating, but...
You lose your fire for the game? You know, I'm not one of those guys that said, well, they're getting paid millions. They need to motivate themselves. I mean, I get it. Everyone needs a little motivation, and it's not just seeing your checkbook or your balance and your checking account and saying, oh, that motivates me. No, I mean, I get it. You want to be motivated. There's an added something. You know, some of you probably have high-paying jobs that you go to. You don't wake up in the morning and go, yes, look at my bank account. I'm fired up. No, sometimes you're just dragging. Sometimes it's just like, fuck, let's just do this. Grind it out. You could add a little. It's okay to get some added motivation. But to lose your fire because, what, you have different coaches? So... Of course, I have to ask the question, how many other players feel that way? Because if that's the attitude of players in the locker room, maybe we just stumbled on to something. Oh, are your feelings hurt? Oh, you're not fired up to play football anymore? Then get the fuck out. Because you represent more than yourself. You represent more than your team. You're representing our city in the shittiest of fashions. And we're tired of you embarrassing us. I have called for the purge of the Bucks roster. It's time to grow a set of balls and get the job done. I think I speak for numerous, many, possibly a majority of Bucks fans, where we get it. We are smart. We understand that sometimes you have to tear it down and build it back up the right way. You know, Jason Light came in and took over Mark Dominic's roster, and what big purge has he made? You know, there's little guys here and there. Well, he finally traded Banks. So the fuck what? Banks lost his fire. Well, he was terrible in training camp. Why didn't they just cut him? I mean, if he was so bad, why didn't you just get rid of him at training camp? And Dirk Cutter was talking. I'd actually just listened to his press conference from Friday afternoon. And he was talking about how bad his quarterback play is. Actually, hold on. I think I actually have something from Cutter talking about. Oh, this is great. So he's talking about his corners. But listen to him catch himself here. You know how I've talked about the Bucks don't have talent? Like, let's start figuring this out now. The roster is not talented. Offensively, defensively, they're just not very good. And that's why I'm saying sometimes you got to tear it down and get it, try and accumulate some draft picks and really start to build this thing up. Select your guys that you want to build around and build around those players. But you can't look at this roster as a whole and say, we're just a couple people. We're just a kicker away. Oh, dear Lord. Here's Cutter talking about.
You know, we have to play better. We have to play better at a lot of different spots. We have to coach better. We have to coach better to enable our guys to play better. And one of those spots is corner.
You know, he caught himself there because when you watch it, he's like, well, we got to play better. We gotta play better. And I'm just like, I wonder if he truly believes that. Like, does he think they can play better? I mean, there's certain guys that are never going to get better. They're tapped out. This is as good as they're going to be. I think Dirk Cutter knows that. He can't come out and say it. He can't come out and say, I've been dealt a shitty hand. I mean, what do you want me to do? He might be saying it behind closed doors. But who is he going to say it to? The general manager that got him the job? Yikes. But I think Dirk Cutter is a very smart person. And for those of you that are just criticized, we got to fire the coach. He's the wrong pick. Relax, okay? He's going to make mistakes because he's never been an NFL head coach. He's going to, you know, the penalty where he didn't accept the penalty and then they kicked the field. Okay, you know, I can live with that. Whether you challenge something or not, I can live with that. But the overall play of the team right now, I can't pin that. I can't pin that on a coach who's only been coaching the team for 8 weeks. Okay? I can't pin that on a coach who's 6 of his 8 wide receivers and running backs in a Thursday night football game on national TV are undrafted free agents. They were undrafted out of college. I can't pin that on Dirk Cutter. I pin that on the guy that's piecing together the roster. Sorry. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It's fact. And I think Dirk Cutter knows it. And it's got to be frustrating to him. Because you can see in his eyes that he wants to win. But I'm watching that press conference, and this is I have no, not, I'm just guessing. This is me guessing, watching it on my computer. I'm not even there in person. And if Lee DeKemper or Steve Isbitz, Joe Bucks fan, the Joes, want to call me and let me know, oh, no, that's not the case. But whether you're sitting in front of people at the press conference or watching it on your computer, it's the same thing. You're just sitting there watching the guy. But the vibe I get in watching Dirk Cutter is that's a guy that's not in control right now. He's not in control. And I don't think that's his fault. I think he's just like, holy shit. What the hell is going on? He's been in the NFL a long time as an offensive coordinator. Jacksonville, Atlanta, you guys know the story. He knows talent. He's watched a lot of football. So what the fuck do you think he's thinking when he pops the tape in? And he's like, holy shit, nobody's getting open. You want to know why? Because nobody on our offense has speed. Well, it's the injuries. Oh, what about all the guys that you could have brought in as backups, as depth pieces, as rotational guys? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I hate to beat a dead horse, but Vincent Jackson got injured last year. This exact same fucking scenario happened last season. And they turned to Dante Dye and Adam Humphries and whoever else, whatever other undrafted free agent they had out there. And you know what happened at that point? Mike Evans started getting double covered. He started freaking the fuck out. I mean, he started freaking out. He was blaming the referees every play. Because he couldn't handle it because he was getting double and triple teamed and nobody else was getting open. And Jameis took a turn for the worse at the end of last season. And the team took a turn for the worse. So they head into this offseason. They're like, hey, you know what we're going to do to avoid what happened last year? Nothing. Because V-Jax is back. He's another fucking year older. And he's on the way out. And he's never playing in a Bucs uniform again. Like, that's idiotic, that line of thinking. And for it to come to fruition the way it has, shame on the Bucs front office. Shame on them. And you can't just blame injuries. Because, as I said in a previous podcast, the same guys get injured every year. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But what the fuck happens when the same people get fooled for the third, fourth, fifth time in a row? with the same things. Even before Jason Light was general manager, you have to see a pattern here. Well, wait, where Doug Martin played his whole rookie season, and then what happened since? Oh, well, he had this injury this year and this injury that year and this injury that year, but he played his entire contract year. So he was held. He made it through his contract year, got his contract, and then gone. Gone. Are you fucking kidding me? Well, injuries happen. You can't blame injuries. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, you can. People lose their job because of injuries. None of them are going to lose their job because apparently it's not appropriate to go out and try and, you know, hire somebody to beat them out. How about signing players that could actually beat your starters? How about signing players that make it so that your starters don't want to get injured? Nope. Not possible. Not with this fucking organization. We hand deliver everything. You're drafted, you're handed a starting role, and that's it. You don't have to ever prove. Who has to prove themselves on the roster? Who? Well, Austin Seferian Jenkins was buried in the depth chart. He did that to himself by being a fucking idiot over the offseason. Who, because of play, has found themselves on the bench? Banks? Okay. But who? You know, nobody's made an example of. They just keep trotting out the same guys every week. You know, again, DeMar Dotson has been horrible at right tackle. Well, we paid him a lot of money. Well, maybe try Gosder Sherless and just say, you know what, Dotson, you've been fucking horrible. You've been terrible. We're going to throw Sherless out there and see what he can do. Who gives a shit if you gave Dotson a lot of money? You're not spending it anywhere else. I guess they're still going to have a shitload of cap room. Who cares? I know I don't care, and I know I've lost my passion for the team. I'm pissed off. But it's not like I'm going to get excited about anything the team does the rest of the season. And you all feel the same way. Don't think that you don't. God, I hope I can play some of these voicemails. This might be a really long podcast. I don't give a shit. But you all feel the same way as me. I mean, if Dotson isn't playing well, then fucking bench his ass. If Brent Grimes is getting beat every play, then throw Werner out there. Oh, well, Werner got benched. Okay, well, do something. Let Josh Robinson get a shot. Who gives a shit? But something, Chris Conte, we'll just throw Chris Conte out there every fucking game, and every game he's giving up big plays, doesn't matter. We're not getting, he's, for some ungodly reason, he just gets a pass, and he's going to start every fucking game. They offer no competition for any position. There's no punishment. If anyone does anything wrong, and I'm not talking about off the field or on the field, there's no consequence. You're not going to lose your position if you don't play well. You know, Gerald McCoy has really gotten this right. You load up on stats late first, early second quarter, make your big play, and then try and avoid the major, major injury and just skate into millions of dollars. Because he's not helping win any games, right? I mean, you all know that because he has not won in Tampa. Lavonte David hasn't won. They're not making impact plays when the Bucs need them most, yet they're paid as impact players. Blow it up, man. Blow it up. I am ready to take a step back as long as I see wheels in motion and the right moves being made. That's the next podcast coming out on Monday. How you fix the Bucks. I gave you a little hint, but trust me, that's far from everything. I've been thinking about this a while. I think there's easy fixes that I would make. I think some people have to look in the mirror and admit wrongdoing. They have to check their ego at the door, which I don't know if they'll ever be able to. And then there probably are certain players that I would part with. And there is a plan to use every avenue available to acquire players that are going to fit the mold of my team. But that's coming on Monday. I don't want to get into that now. We're still reacting from Thursday night's game. Let's play a little, a couple of these. I got a whole bunch of them. I'll start with this one. This is from Keith. Now, Keith says it's a little long, but to make sure that we just stick to the end. So let's listen to the beginning here.
Hey, Commish, this is Keith in SoCal, a.k.a. Bam Beef,
okay,
a.k.a. Aguayo's Gotta Go.
Okay.
Well, I'm cool with Aguayo nowadays. There's bigger fish to fry. And it starts with Mike Smith. The fucking guy has no fucking clue.
Okay, that's good. Let's fast forward.
Basically,
let's fast forward
basically
to the end.
800. Everybody's just playing for a fucking paycheck. Fuck, 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 fuck. And if you think Mike Smith is a good defensive coordinator, you're higher than giraffe pussy. He's king shit on Turd Hill. Get the fuck out, Mike Smith. I'm done.
Perfect. Let's go to Felix. Hey, Felix.
Hey, Justin. It's Felix from Jersey once again. I just have one thing to say. Siege these nuts. Follow me on Twitter. Fee the GM. That's all.
I got to follow him on Twitter. Derek. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Justin. Derek calling from Louisiana here. Just finished watching the Bucks game over again, and I wanted to make sure before I submitted my first statement to you, I wanted to make sure that I was positive of who I hated the most on this damn team. And it's not Conte. It's not McDougal. It's a guy with a C on his chest, and he's been on the Bucks for the longest time, and he makes $20 million a year. To do nothing. He's not an impact player at all. He's not even a fucking leader. Gerald McCoy has to go. We didn't do anything for the deadline, like trade Glennon or Vern or anything. Why didn't we just trade McCoy and get more picks, man? I understand he's like the best player on the team, so okay, whatever. But the guy doesn't show up when it matters the most, and that's what determines a person being the best player on the team. Showing up when your number needs to be called. The guy's not a leader. I just watched the interview on the Bucks app just now, and I heard him fucking say, "I love Matty Ice. I don't care what the fans say or think about me, man. I love Matty Ice. Fuck this guy. I can't stand the guy, man. I mean, sure, he's a good guy and all that shit. I don't want a good guy on my fucking football team. I want a guy with fucking head issues. I want a guy who's gonna go out there and fucking kill you. I want a guy like fucking Vontaze Burfict. You know, the most hated guy in the league right now, but he's a fucking leader." Thank you, Justin. Just started listening to the podcast about 3 weeks ago, man. I am a fan. Keep it up, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Derek. Thanks. Here's Gerald McCoy's comments from
Matt. Matty Ice is Matty Ice. I love the guy. I know fans, Bucks fans, go, "Oh, here you go being a nice guy again." I don't care how you guys feel. I like Matty Ice. So what? He's a nice guy. He's a great player. So what? I love football, and I respect him. He's a great player, so it makes you go play a lot harder. You know, I'll shake his hand before and after the game. During the game, I try and kill him. But Matty Ice is a great player, and he's on fire right now. It is what it is. We just got to stop him. It's okay to be nice. It's okay to be a nice guy, guys.
How do you stop him? Is there something?
Fuck. Lee is up with us. Hey, Lee.
This is Lee out of Tampa. Anybody that wants to play Captain Save a Bitch, go ahead and grab your cape, because I'm about to tell the truth. Okay, an honest attack on your boy, number 93. This fucking dude is one of the softest defensive linemen in the league. Okay, I know what the fuck I see on the field. Don't tell me I'm crazy. Okay, I know football. I watch this guy every fucking week ride blocks, selling his teammates out. Just to preserve himself so he can make one or two fucking splash plays when he gets ready. How the fuck you gonna win like that? He is in the middle of every debacle that takes place on this defense. And he's been right slap dead in the middle of that shit since Raheem Morris drafted his ass. Every record-setting dumpster fire we've ever seen on defense, 93's been slapped fucking dead in the middle of the fucking shit. And everybody want to come and call his ass and run to his defense. Watch the fucking film. I don't know. Belichick wouldn't, he wouldn't even be playing for Belichick team. Belichick would have been shipped his ass out. And when he starts to play hard, because people, he starts hearing what people saying, speaking the truth about his ass, what happens when he starts playing hard? He gets injured. He can't fucking, his body can't even handle this fucking NFL game. He not even durable enough to handle a 16 fucking game season if he does play hard. But you got these fake-ass wannabe future Buccaneer reporters scared to tell the truth, want to kiss his ass. Because if I see him in the locker room one day, I don't want him to, you know, look at me funny. I don't want him to talk to me. I don't give a fuck about that shit. This is a football town. We know fucking football. This is Tampa. Okay? Don't sit here and tell us we don't see trash play. I'm not going to say he's a trash person. But his play is trash. Don't tell us we don't see trash when it's littered all over the fucking field. Fuck out of here with that shit. Justin, podcast is the bomb. Keep it up. Peace.
All right, so I usually ask for these voice memos to be 60 seconds long. That was 2.5 minutes. That was phenomenal. Excellent. That's what I want you to do. Speak your mind. I don't give a shit what you say. Whether I agree with it or not. Doesn't matter to me. Just let this podcast be a way for you to vent about how you feel. Now there are, I love the people that, and be careful here, but when you laugh off criticism of Gerald McCoy, be careful with that. Be careful. Because there's a lot of smart people, and I've said this about Bucks fans for a while. I think Bucks fans are much smarter than the local media gives them credit for. And more people are realizing, hey, wait a second. You know when they say that McCoy only makes plays late first, early second quarter, and then he's doing it game after game after game, and then when it comes time for them to need a big play, he is a ghost. Ghost. And it, again, don't just focus on Gerald McCoy here. Focus on Lavonte David, Gerald McCoy, key players on defense. Right? They were the nucleus. That's our Sapp and Brooks. Oh, fuck you if you say that. Sorry. I mean, I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, but this is Bucks Uncensored. And I think we all want the same result. Everyone's going to have a different idea of how to get there. But I can guarantee you this. You're never going to get there if you continue to have your highest paid players on your team not be impact players. Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David are not impact players. When they needed a play against the Raiders, they were both gone. When they needed a play against the Falcons to stay in the nothing. Other than the forced fumble early in the second quarter, nothing. One more on McCoy. Jeremy's got something. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Justin. It's Jeremy. It's the half right now, and I have one thing to say. Gerald McCoy got in there, got to kiss his boy on the lips. I know he's happy about that. And Matty Ice was so freaked out by it that he dropped the ball, and we got in and scored. How about that? So, Gerald, if you want to get back in there, kiss him on the lips one more time after the half, that'd be awesome.
That didn't happen. I meant in the second half. I sit in section 109. I'm three rows behind the Bucks bench. Good buddy of mine, Mike, sits two rows behind me. We pretty much bitch the entire game. So if you don't like hearing that, like the guy that sat in front of me Thursday night, I don't think he had a good time because I was fucking pissed and I was letting everyone hear it. And Mike was too. Mike actually jumped in with his own voice memo. We call him Paps. Hey, Mike.
Justin, it's Mike, the angry Mike, from behind you in section 109. I'll keep it short and sweet. What the fuck? What the fuck? Jameis and Evans versus the Falcons, and we expected to win. And then there's Gerald McCoy, who every time he gets a yard of penetration needs to take a fucking break. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. Just don't stand in the aisle, okay? Because if you stand in the aisle, you're going to have to leave.
All right, so a couple of things there. First off, we do know Gerald McCoy. Like, we're like, okay, big play here. He's on the sideline. What's going on? And actually, Mike pointed that out, and he's like, McCoy's on the sideline again. And it's like, oh, God, is he dealing nerfs and an injury? I'm sure he'll come up with some excuse, like he always does. As for being in the aisle, so I learned a valuable lesson on Thursday night. See, I've never gotten kicked out of a Bucks game before, but that reality almost occurred Thursday night at the Bucks-Falcons game. There was an instant replay. It wasn't the main one. It wasn't the Julio Jones one. I think it was where the Falcons, there was a challenge or something in the first half. I forget what happened. But so the referee went over, and the referee's kind of their video booth is kind of, so I'm in the third row, so it's down on the field, and then to the left, like one more section over in front of Big Nasty where he is. And so, you know, nothing's going on. Obviously, we haven't stood that much. I've been sitting behind a desk all day. You know, I wanted to stand up, stretch my legs. So I stand up. Anyone that's been in Raymond James Stadium knows they have the railing there. And so I just stood up. I'm sitting in the aisle. I stand up and go and lean on the railing, and I'm tweeting. That's it. I'm looking at my phone. I'm not saying anything to anyone. I'm just on my phone, sending out some tweets, probably trying to make some of you laugh, maybe piss others of you off. And all of a sudden, security guy comes from on the field, walks all the way over to my section and goes, hey, you can't stand there. I looked around and I'm like, it's a TV timeout, dude. Everything's good. You have to sit down. You cannot stand in the aisle. You know, it's one of those, the blue shirt security guys. I'm friends with a lot of them. See them all the time at USF games. Never saw this guy. So he's going ballistic. And I'm just like, I'm not moving. It's a TV timeout. I'm here every fucking game. I've never seen you, Mr. Security Guard. Like, enough. He goes, oh, okay. So he leaves. And who does he come back with? The police officer on the field. And the police officer walks up and he's like, you could even see the police officer go, like roll his eyes, like, really? This is why you dragged me all the way over here? And so the police officer goes, you can't stand in the aisle. And I said, it's a TV timeout. There's literally nothing going on. I'm at every game and I'll sit down. And he goes, would you just mind sitting down now? And I said, for him, I was like, absolutely. That's fine. And I sat in my seat. But it was like, really? Are you fucking kidding me? And there were no other security guards that could have walked up to that guy and gone, hey, man, maybe you need to chill out a little bit. I mean, this organization's already driving fans away by the herds with their absolute dog shit performances on the field, and then you're going to allow your security to treat the rare season ticket holders you have left that way? Like, really? I mean, I could understand if I was being belligerent or I was picking fights or I was throwing stuff on the field or any of that. Then I would understand. But I'm literally standing there on my phone. I'm not saying a word to anybody. Honestly, he should have threatened to throw me out for what I was saying while I was sitting down. That was way worse than me standing there tweeting. Anyway, I had the last laugh because there was a Falcon fan sitting across the aisle and down one seat. Later on in the game, Falcon scored a touchdown. He started talking shit to the guy that sits behind him. Well, the guy that sits behind him is another season ticket holder. I see him at every single game. So he starts talking shit to the guy, and I said, nope. And I got in, and I got this. I got another security guard to get over. Two police officers came down, kicked the guy out. Fuck you. I hope you spent a shitload of money on those tickets and you lost it. I don't know what happens when you get kicked out, but it was glorious to see him have the walk of shame. Like, get the fuck out of here. He's wearing a Bartkowski jersey. What a fucking loser. All right, so that was my whole situation there. All right, let's get... God, we always hear so many guys. Let's get some female. How about Nina? Hello, Nina.
Hey, Justin. It's Nina from Ruskin. And my husband and I just left the game during the third quarter. It was our first game of the season. We were super excited to be in attendance, and we actually listened to your podcast on our way there. We were excited because it was John Lynch's induction to the Ring of Honor, but I wish this was a celebratory call. However, we just feel the game lagged. The secondary was horrible. Atlanta players were left wide open with no apparent coaching adjustments. The play calling, in my opinion, was just too conservative once again. I would get extremely excited to see the offense spread out, but it was a big tease as they only ran 5-yard comebacks. And seriously, we're down 19 points and we run draws. Holy cannoli, when is draft day?
Holy cannoli is so good. This is Bucks Uncensored. Like, you can say worse things than holy cannoli, but I do like that. Thank you for listening to the podcast on the way to the game. That's why I like to do those preview podcasts, because I get it. You probably want an alternative from the, hey, everything's great. Let's talk to Joe Smith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Hey, Joe, let's talk about the foul. Yeah. Yeah, like, no, not everything's rosy. Not everything's good. The team is shit. And by the way, Nina, I get it. I understand the play calling from a fan's perspective that you want more. I think Dirk Cutter looks at his roster and says, I can't do that. I just can't. I got one guy I can throw the ball to, and guess what? They threw to him a lot. They have zero confidence in throwing to any other receiver. Any. So, I mean, I'm past blaming the coach. We've learned our lesson. And listen, I think Greg Schiano was a problem. Lovie Smith was not the right guy. But it's way too early to say that Dirk Cutter's not the right guy. Or to keep over, like, listen, he deserves some criticism. He's going to make mistakes. As I said earlier on in the podcast. But let's look at it big picture. If we're just looking at play calling, he's a much different play caller when he had his players in than he is now. He has to be conservative because he's been dealt a team of shitty players right now on the roster. They're shitty. They were never drafted, okay? Five of the wide receivers and running backs that played in Thursday night's game were not on an NFL roster to start the season, on an active roster. That's mind-boggling. I mean, it's really, really scary. All right, let's go to Robin, who's got one for us. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Justin, this is Robin. Well, it's halftime, and I'm already frustrated with this game. Flags. We have a nice completion, and then I'm just like automatically looking for a flag, holding my breath, looking for a flag. But I'm an optimistic person, and it's only halftime, but I did see some good things out there, and I want to bring some positivity to this because I did see something really, really good out there that most people probably did not even notice. Happening around in the first quarter with about 1:20 left on the clock. It's a tricky play. As any foodie knows, when you go to get your hot dog, you got to get your ketchup and mustard on there a certain way. The ketchup, that can go on there any kind of way. That doesn't even matter. But the mustard, that's the secret weapon. and it's often underestimated. So I'm at the condiment table. I got people all around me, on my left, on my right, behind me. I feel the pressure. I pump the mustard with my right hand. So I got a blind spot right there. But you know what? I stood in the pocket. I felt that pressure. I stood in the pocket. And I had all the time in the world back there. At least it felt like I did. And you know what? I delivered a bullet.
Ooh, 30
mustard
yards?
Perfectly put on that hot dog.
You pumped it.
This hot dog was my personal best.
Whoa.
Now, I know football is a team sport. And we're not supposed to talk about me, 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 and what I did individually. You know, I know the politically correct thing for me to say is I don't care about my hot dog. I just care about the team.
We don't say we're not politically correct here.
In front of a national TV audience, I had a Pro Bowl hot dog.
Dang.
Okay? And dare I say, that hot dog tonight was one of the top five plays at Raymond James Stadium this season. Now, we can argue that. We can agree to disagree. That's up for debate. But what I'm telling you is, I've watched a lot of Bucks football, okay? And that damn hot dog is in one of the top five plays this Bucks season. And you know what? I can check that off my sports bucket list. Nailed it.
Yeah, you did. And a lot of people listening right now are like, I want to see her dress a hot dog. Okay. Let's go to Sal. Hello, Sal.
God damn it.
Oh, boy.
40-14. What the fuck is going on with this team? They don't even want to win. Why can't they win at home? God, why is this team so fucking frustrating? Holy shit. Oh, my God. Why? What do they have to do to win? How do you kill this bad culture that they have? Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. This game is just so freaking frustrated. I don't know how I can keep watching week after week after week after week after week of the same bullshit. Oh, my God. What do you even do to fix this shit? What do you do? Sorry, I had to vent.
That's what we're here for. Hey, good news. Aguayo didn't miss a kick. Thorbo is up with us. Hey, Thorbo.
Hey, Justin. This is Thorbo from North Dakota.
Yeah.
Just shut off the game. Gosh, it sucks, man. It sucks to be a Bucks fan these days. I mean, I start watching these Yahoos about 5 years before they won the Super Bowl, and, you know, I started to love football. Started to love football, man. But now, I still love football, but gosh, it sucks to be a Bucks fan. Thanks for your podcast. Your voice is wonderful.
You're welcome. My voice is wonderful. I've often been told that by my wife, but never by somebody named Thorbo. So thank you, Thorbo, for chiming in and being a part of this podcast. You know, we need to take a step back from, you know what? You know what we need to do? We need to take a trip across the pond and go to John. Hello, John.
Hey, Kamish. It's John here from Weymouth, England. Love the show and all that shit.
Perfect.
It's just gone 3 o'clock in the morning. I took the day off work to watch this pile of horse crap. While I've been here, I've been doodling about our defense. And I come up with a couple of new names for them. Oh, yes. I'm going to rename our pass D Petula Clark, because everything just goes downtown. And our run defense,
okay,
I'm going to rename Dion Warwick, because that's just walk on by.
Okay.
I'm just a little tired now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go for a dump, and then my return is questionable. Go Bucks.
What? Did he just say what I think he said?
And then my return is questionable.
No, not that part.
Now, I think I'm going to go for a dump.
Okay. I don't know the English slang over in England. Going for a dump? Is that what I think it is? Or is that like a run or the swim or something? I think he took his shit. I actually think that he pulled his own, dare I say, Austin Severian Jenkins?
I gotta take a huge shit.
Yeah. I think he did. I think he went and took a gigantic dump and then felt all better about the Bucks. Now, Mark, not so much.
So fucking Bucks. This team is an absolute joke. Week in, week out. Defensively, can't even fucking line up right. Like, we took a timeout because I couldn't get fucking lined up. And then, bam, two fucking plays later, another fucking problem lining up. Couldn't get lined up. Just throwing it to Julio Jones back to back to back. Just saying a big fuck you to Mike Smith. Our defense is just full of fucking pussies, man. This whole team just has such a terrible loser's mentality that it feels like every fucking week they come out looking for a way to lose the fucking game. The audacity of Dirk fucking Cutter to call us fans out, to come out to the game. Man, this is the last fucking game I'm going to this year. Just an absolute fucking train wreck, man. This team has a lot of work to do to win back these fans, because I'm telling you what, this fan base, they're fucking hurting right now, man. Fuck the Bucks.
It didn't get trending, but I was really hoping that So Fucking Bucks would at least made a dent. Shame on you folks that didn't get that hashtag going. Question. Do you think more people would have been offended had Donald Trump said that he would grab him by the Gerald McCoy? Let's see. Dave in Switzerland. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Justin. It's Dave in Switzerland checking in. I just finished here with your podcast. And you brought up some points that got me really fired up, especially with the roster. One thing I wanted to start... hold on a second, Justin. This music. Hey! Hey! Would you keep that down? Shut the fuck up! God, you know, I'm closing Lino. All right, I'm sorry about that, Justin. Look, real quick, I thought your point about the roster and Jason Light overestimating this roster was spot on, and I've got a real problem. I'm going to have a real problem if the Bucks lose this game tomorrow night, because it's just more of the same. You know, I'm not some Lovie Smith apologist, but goes to show you that the real issue wasn't the head coach last year. It's the roster. It's the players. They're full of losers, and things need to change. And if Jason Light doesn't do something, if the Bucks lose and nothing changes, his ass ought to be fired. Good night now.
They did lose, and he sent that in, obviously, before the game. But Lovie Smith was not the right guy. He was as much a loser as a lot of these players were. So Lovie Smith had to go, but... I think anyone can see that, right? I mean, he's gone to Illinois. It's the same shit. I mean, Lovie's Lovie. Okay, he wasn't the right coach at the time, and they had to make a move. Okay, he was not taking the team in the right direction. He was feeding into the loser mentality in the locker room rather than fixing it. I do feel like Dirk Cutter wants to fix it. He talked about trying to figure that out.
I got to figure out how to reach these guys, how to motivate them, how to get them on the same page, how to get them to play together, how to play, get them to play up to the talent level that I think we have. That all starts with me.
Some people didn't want to give their names, but they did chime in with some points.
Here. Not only do we field a fucked up, busted bag of donuts football team, they charge us $10.25 a beer. Are you serious? Hot garbage.
Boom. This one.
You couldn't pay me to go to a Bucks game. Fuck that.
Thanks. And of course, Bruce wants to chime in. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Justin, this is Bruce.
We have no fucking defense. I don't give a shit what the fuck they call this. This is not a defense. My grandmother can do better than this, and she's been dead for over 15 fucking years.
Nice.
These guys suck. Oh, Jesus.
Don't know if he's going to help the Bucks out too much, but he might. He might. Maybe we just need to pray, like Bruce just did. Pray into Jesus. Jesus, please I know there's probably a lot of other things you should be doing and taking care of, but if you could just, you know, sprinkle some dust on the old Buccaneers, and hopefully they can be a little bit better. Joe's in Bradenton.
Hey, Justin, Joe from Bradenton again. How is it possible, year after year, coach after coach, that this fucking team looks so dismal? Every year, there's a glimmer of a little bit of hope in the beginning of the season that there's going to be something different. And as usual, it's the same fucking result. This team is just, it's a Pop Warner team at best. I do not understand how a team can go year after year and be as shitty as they are. It's just fucking, I'm at a loss for words. This will be the last game I ever attend. Fuck this team.
I like going to Will in the Midwest as well. He's always got good points. He sent in 7 voice memos throughout the course of the game. We're just going to go with the last 2 that actually talk about the game. So let's start with numero uno. Hey, Will.
All right, Justin. It's Will here out of the Midwest. I got to go to work in the morning, and I don't even really give a fuck about watching the rest of this shit show. I have to honestly say, maybe not the coaching staff goes, although I don't agree with everything that they do. I have to definitely say that Jason Light goes. I mean, when you broke down all of the positions and how not only did we not get rid of the bad, you know, seeds on this team, we didn't really improve anything. Jason Light was cocky and he thought that his team had it all, and we all knew. And we're just outside, you know, people on the outside, not making millions of dollars to run a team. We all knew this fucking team needed an overhaul. You know, it needed a fucking overhaul. That's what Jameis was calling for at the end of the season. Needed a fucking overhaul. Nothing happened. So you know what, Jason Light? Drain your fucking pool. Pack your fucking bags. Sayonara, motherfucker. But anyways, man, can't wait to listen to the podcast and hear all the good Bucks fans talk about how fucking worthless this team is. Take care, Justin.
Okay, yeah. Let me point something out. That was not my computer. That was on his end. So I don't know if he's recording it on his... I don't know. Okay? It wasn't my computer. And he wasn't done. Will?
Hey, Justin. Will here in the Midwest. Psych. I said it was going to be my final thoughts on Thursday Night Football, but it's not. Hey, Jason Light. If you're watching this game, maybe you're already chilling in your pool at home or something, you know. Hey, if you're watching this game, bud, you see how exhausted Mike Evans is because he's the only fucking legitimate weapon that we have for Jameis? Get your shit together, motherfucker. God.
All right, and that's how we'll end this podcast. All right, reactionary podcast in the books. I think, did we hit an hour? Yes. We still got a few minutes until we get to an hour. But listen, there's so much. And as I told you, I just sit down and start talking for these podcasts. But whether you want to talk about offensively, defensively, there's just so many things going wrong with the team now. And it's amazing. Okay, well, they have some injuries to their defensive ends, and if you think about it defensively, Ayers is back. McCoy's in there. I know Clinton McDonald's not, but Akeem Spence is. Will Golston's playing. Noah Spence is still in there, in and out. He's kind of nicked up. Linebacker Lavonte David and Quan Alexander are in. Vernon Hargraves is your first-round pick. He's in, along with Brent Grimes. Chris Conte was your starter, and Bradley McDougald. So where on defense are they dealing with all these injuries that are hurting them? That's scary right now. That's scary because that's your starting defense, and that's what they chose to go with anyway. Holy shit. Yikes. Bad, bad stuff on that side of the football. On offense, they have dealt with some injuries. Injuries to guys that we knew were going to get injured. Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin. Even Charles Sims has dealt with a few injuries, but what was scarier than Charles Sims getting injured was how bad he was when he was healthy. Holy shit. That's bad. Then Jaquizz Rodgers off the street injured. Now Anton Smith injured. It's just like, whatever. Whatever. They need a running back. They need at least one, maybe 2 receivers this offseason. You got to get weapons around Jameis Winston. That's going to be in the next podcast. We'll talk about it. It's not going to be just the repetitive shit that we've been talking about. We're really going to dive deep. Not going to give you names of free agents or even guys that they could draft, but I think you got to start to put a plan in place now and then execute it as you near the end of the season and into the offseason. You got 8 games left this season. So you might want to start thinking about what's going to happen in the future. We're going to talk about that Monday morning's podcast that posts at joebucksfan.com. This one posting on Saturday. So I hope you enjoyed the reaction from this game. I know you did not enjoy the result. Unfortunately, for a lot of you, I can say that the Bucks are irrelevant. All the hope that we had coming into this season is now dead. There is a definite shot at a downward spiral now. They have the Bears next at home, where they're so bad. And by the way, have we learned anything now? And I'm as guilty as this as anyone else. But they beat the Falcons week one. Okay, that was a good win. We didn't really know what to expect from I don't think they knew what to expect from the team. Since then, blown out by the Cardinals, blown out by the Broncos, the Rams offense, which, oh, by the way, is so terrible, scored a ton of points on the Bucs defense. That should have been a glaring sign. Lost that game. Let's see. Went to Carolina, and all of a sudden, all I kept hearing was, Mike Smith said 3-4 weeks, and then the defense is going to click. I mean, how many media members were saying that? It's like, okay, the cheesy line. Let me just say it over and over again. Well, Mike Smith said 3-4 weeks, and then it's really going to come together. And so the Bucs defense played well against Carolina. It's like, oh, what? Look, the Bucs defense is so good. And then the next week they played, or no, then they had the bye week. Then the next week they played the 49ers, and it's like, oh my God. They gave up 14 points, and then they just shut him down. Good defense. Way to go, Mike Smith. Mike Smith was right. Oh, okay, media members. Now what did we learn? Because since then, since those two fucking terrible offenses, by the way, Derek Anderson, awful. They didn't have Jonathan Stewart. The Panthers team at that time was so bad. They were so terrible. Okay, and the 49ers have been awful all season long. So your defense played well in those two games, then got their asses fucking handed to them against the Raiders and Derek Carr and the Falcons and Matt Ryan. So if you faced a good offense with decent quarterback play, they're going to get fucking shredded. I don't know what to expect from Jay Cutler and the Bears. I do know that they're going to come in feeling good about beating the Vikings. Coming off a bye week, there's going to be a shitload of Bears fans. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to the game, and I'm going to try and sell my tickets to a Bears fan. Because I want to see more opposing jerseys in the lower bowl until the Bucks prove that they deserve their fans in that stadium. They should be forced to make every game feel like, fuck, take the fucking ship out of the stadium. Take it out of the stadium. I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't even want to call that the home stadium anymore, because it's really not. You don't play like that in your home stadium week in and week out. The Bucs aren't a good football team. It's very clear. It should be clear to everyone. They've beaten shitty teams. They had a surprise win at the beginning of the year. And other than that, they have gotten murdered. I mean, murdered by the Cardinals, the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Falcons on Thursday. Murdered. And don't just look at the score of the Raiders game. Look at what transpired. Okay, the Raiders committed 23 penalties. They tried to hand the Bucks the victory. Other than those penalties, the Raiders just dominated the game. If they had 15 penalties in that game, they win by 20 points. Instead, they had 23 penalties, and it went to overtime. And they missed 2 game-winning field goals. They did everything they could to hand the Bucks to win. But the Bucks were so shitty that the Bucks were like, nah, we don't want to win at home. It's a harsh reality, but it's one that we all have to accept. And again, Bears at home in 10 days or whenever, next weekend. Then you're at the Chiefs. Chiefs aren't a great team, but tough place to play. And decent quarterback. That's going to be a real test. Decent quarterback play. If Alex Smith comes back, he's taking this week off. So he could have 2 weeks. But Alex Smith should play in that decent quarterback play. Good offense, not a great offense. Be curious to see what they do against the Bucs defense. And then the next week, Seattle. In the den of depression. I'm sorry, folks. The Bucs are 3-5 right now. There's a legit chance they're 3-8 before we get to December. 3-8. And unless he shows me something else, I just can't blame Dirk Cutter. And I hope you keep a logical head about this. Can't keep firing coaches. I still believe Cutter's a good coach. And I think he's assembled a pretty good staff. I can't blame Mike Smith either. You know, how can we blame the coaching staff when they've inherited these players, whether they're talented or not? You know, you can be talented physically, but if you're mentally weak, and I think a majority of the players in the Bucs roster are, and I don't think that that's going to be fixed, and that's why there's a losing culture in there, I can't blame the players. I can't blame the coaches. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Not if I still believe in the coach. Not if I've seen these coaches go and win a lot of games. Like, Mike Smith won a lot of games, and Dirk Cutter's had a lot of success as an offensive coordinator. And Jay Hayes has had a ton of success as a defensive line coach. And the defensive backs coach had a lot of success with the Bears secondary when they were in their heyday. This is a very veteran coaching staff. I'm not just going to rip the cord out and say, well, they're terrible coaches. They could go 3-13. They could lose the rest of their games this season, and I wouldn't blame the coaching staff. I think it's beyond the coaching staff. Join me, won't you? It's time to point the blame where the blame should be pointed. Not just at the players, but at the ownership of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That comes Monday. I'm Justin Pulaski, the commish. This is Bucs Uncensored, where we say whatever the fuck we want to say about the team that we care about, but unfortunately it's the team that's also driving us away. Follow me on Twitter at Commish Online, on Facebook, facebook.com/commishonline, and of course subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. This podcast, we just fucking nailed it.